This presentation was given at the 2017 Oktoberfest Conference of the Orangeburg German Swiss Genealogy Society. Rights to the content of the presentation remain with the speaker.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Great. I'm Todd Platt. My co-author, editor of this book, Rosemary Williams, who is also a cousin of mine, was disappointed that she could not be here today. She and I and Bob Connolly were prepared to speak to you all, so today it will just be me starting off, and Bob will be following at the end. I'm from Charlotte, but my father, who is now deceased, was a Bamberg County native, and I'll let Bob tell, he can tell you about himself when he comes up here. He's going to talk about some of the allied families with the Platt family. So the image that you're seeing is basically the image we used for the front cover of the book, and it is meant to be symbolic of when they settled there, what was the very lower part of Orangeburg District along the southern banks of the Saukahatchee River. How many of you know where the Saukahatchee is? Okay, a good number of you. It's it becomes the Cumbie River, where the Little Saukahatchee has its confluence and, of course, forms part of the Ace River Basin. And so when the first census was taken in 1790, this family was included in that Orangeburg District portion. I'll back up just a little bit here, though, and start back at the family's origins in Europe, which is marked by the star, which you see as the city of Nagold, not too far from Stuttgart, off to the northeast. And the immigrant mother was from a village called Emmingen, the immigrant father from a village called Schietingen. And the immigrant father had an ancestor, Caspar Witt, who was from Switzerland, so there was some Swiss connection as well. And I'll talk more about the Swiss connection in another generation here in just a moment. But like many of the families in Germany in the middle of the 18th century, there were lots of factors that led to their immigration from Europe to the New World. And in fact, when they left the little village of Emmingen, which had suffered two catastrophic floods back to back the years before they decided to emigrate, they thought they were going to Pennsylvania. But when they got to the port of Rotterdam, they boarded a ship that had been chartered by Henry Laurens and his business partner, George Austin, and they ended up in the port of Charleston in October, about this same time of year of 1751. There was the father, Johann Jakob Platt, his wife, Christina Rentz, and their eight children, four daughters and four sons. When they arrived in Charleston, they went through the process of course, getting a grant, warranted land that was platted, and they settled on almost immediately opposite of where Riversbridge State Park is, if you know where that is, but on the opposite side of the Saukahatchee. And unfortunately, we're not sure of the outcome of the youngest daughter and the youngest son. Or any of the daughters, in fact. We don't know if any of them survived to marry and have descendants. We would love to find that out someday, so our research on that part continues. There were three sons that we do know about. I was very interested to hear the presentation last night about the Revolutionary War, because they all fought, although apparently for the Loyalists. They appear on a muster roll in Captain Levi Yeoman's company in Savannah in December of 1779. The youngest one was killed in May earlier that year, and One of them was listed as a prisoner with the rebels, and the youngest son who survived, from which Bob and Rosemary and I are all descended, was this gentleman you see here at the top left, John Platt Sr., and his status on the muster roll was struck off. That was the term, struck off, which we interpret to mean that he deserted to the Patriot cause. But you will see that we do not know the name of his wife, although we feel sure that she was also of German origin because we found a spelling where her name would have been pronounced Supia, with, you know, a hard P sound. They had 10 children that we know of, 7 daughters, and 3 sons. So I'll let Bob talk about that a little more later on, and I'm going to concentrate on number 7. John Platts Jr. And he was married twice. All 3 of us, Rosemary, Bob, and I, are descended from his first marriage, which was to Susanna Mole. And the Mole family also had Swiss origins from the very top part, about as close as you can get to Germany without being in Germany, only about 10 miles from Lake Constance. John Platts Jr. was a mover and shaker. There's a long essay in our book written about him, about 30 pages. And this is his genealogical chart with his children from his first wife on the left and the 2 children from his second marriage on the right. All of this information is included in the book. I'll let Bob talk a little bit more about the daughters, because in both these generations there were more daughters than sons. So many people who are from the Allendale, Bamberg, Hampton, Colleton, and even Orangeburg County areas don't realize they're related to the Platts family because of that. I'm going to quickly talk about number 7, which is the son William Alfred Platts on the left, who is my direct ancestor. His wife was Elizabeth Burnap, but his sister-in-law was Mary Burnap. And Mary Burnap married Jacob Martin Cope. And many of you might be familiar with the community of Cope in Orangeburg County. And so Jacob Martin Cope moved his family with his first wife, the sister-in-law of Alfred Platt, to what became the town of Cope. Now, it wasn't until years later when the Manchester and Augusta Railroad wanted to lay tracks through that area, they struck an agreement with Jacob Martin Cope, and that is how the town of Cope got its name. He was also married twice, but we do have kinship with many of the Copes from that part of Orangeburg County. Also, one of Alfred's daughters eventually went to live with her aunt and uncle in Cope. She was Harriet Elizabeth Platts. She married a Livingston. They have only 2 children that we know of who survived. One eventually moved to Atlanta and reared her family there. But the other child, the older one, a son, was William Alfred as well. He was a namesake of his grandfather. William Alfred, he was known as Bill Livingston. I know I was very struck by the fact that Margaret points out that many of you in the crowd are not living currently in this area. But I would like to see a show of hands of anybody who was at least living here, or you know someone pretty well who was living here in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Okay. Do any of you remember the wholesale grocery business, W.A. Livingston?
Yes.
Okay. Well, this is the same family.
Okay.
At the time, Bill Livingston lived in the big house on Green Street, which is now the administrative headquarters for Orangeburg's Park and Recreation Department. So the story of Alfred's daughter, Harriet Elizabeth, is in our Volume 1 book, and the story of her son, Bill Livingston, and his sister will be in Volume 2. That's where we're picking up with the essays. So I did want to make that more local connection to the city and county of Orangeburg. And I think that's about it for the moment. I'm going to let Bob come up here and briefly talk to you about the family's church connection and some of these allied families.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Bob Conley from Ulmer, South Carolina. How many of you know where Ulmer is? Okay, it's where 301, 321 come together and then divide. And if you blink, you'll miss it. And we used to say Ulmer's, but about 35 years ago, they dropped the S off of Ulmer. So, I have enjoyed helping Rosemarie and Todd get this book together. We worked on it for about 25 years. And while they're only descended from one of, all of us are descended from John Platt's Jr., I'm also descended from two of John Platt's Jr.'s sisters. So even though my name's not Platt, it seems like I'm more of a Platt descendant maybe than Todd is. But a big part of a lot of lives in the area where the Platts originally settled was St. Nicholas Lutheran Church, which is still an active congregation today, but only with about 12, 15 active members. This is the church as it looked in 1924, and this they still worship in this same church, but it doesn't look like that now. It was remodeled in 1937, and then has been updated throughout the years. But this is the fourth location of this historic church. And the significance with the Platt family is, even though the early records are non-existent, this was the Platt's church. And because the Platt's church in Germany was Nicholas Church or Nicholas Chapel, we know that they named their new church in the new land after their church in Germany. And anyway, it is played at this church. They use an organization date of 1800, but we feel that it's probably a lot older than that, even though there are no records. But that, we just feel certain that the Platts were instrumental in forming this church when they came to the area in 1752 and naming it after their church in their homeland in Germany. But any questions about the church?
You might want to mention about the two markers.
About 20 years ago, the historical marker down at the bottom is a state historical marker, and it was put out on Highway 641 opposite Riversbridge State Park on the south side of the Saugatchie River, giving information on the church as a whole. And then at the second site of the church is what's called Old St. Nicholas Cemetery, and there's also a state historical marker for it, also on Highway 641.
Where is it located, the church?
I'd have to take you there. You can't get there from here. you have to twist and turn. You have to have been born and lived there like me to know how to get there.
Well, Hamburg, and
right.
Ulmer,
right.
Is. So is it
well,
very far from Ulmer?
It's about 8 miles from Ulmer.
Okay.
But you call me up and I'll take you out there.
I can show you a map in our display book that will clearly show you.
But we had a funeral at St. Nicholas. I'm Baptist, but I would have been Lutheran if I had not been Baptist, because there's only two churches in our community. but I'm very close to a lot of people and a lot of families in St. Nicholas Church, and I've always taken part in community things at that church. About a month ago, we had a funeral there. A friend of mine from St. Matthew's was at the funeral, and she said, how do I get home from here? I said, well, you can follow me, and I'll get... She said, well, if I get on 301, I know how to get back home. I said, well, I'll lead you from St. Nicholas to Ulm. I can't tell you that. You've interrupted my train of thought. But as I was thinking, as we were leaving that church and going 8 miles up to Ulm, every place we passed by was a Platt's family had lived. One place joined another, that whole 8 mile route. So every family in our community descends from the German immigrant Jacob Platt's. I live 3 miles from the land grant, so my family didn't get very far. But I think here are the 10 children of John Platt, who was the son of the immigrant Jacob Platt. His first daughter, Christina, married George Howard, and they went to South Georgia, Wiregrass, Georgia. The second daughter was Margaret Peggy Platt. She remained in the community near Ulm, and she was married twice, as was her sister Hannah Platt, who married John Cole, and she died young. Then Todd's already touched on John Platt's Jr. And then another brother, George Platt, who did not have any children. And then going across the bottom, Miley Platt married Michael Conner. I'm also her descendant. She ended up in Lexington County with Michael Conner, but two of her children ended up back in our area. So we haven't been able to figure out how they moved back and forth so much between Lexington and Barnwell District. I'm also descended from the next daughter, Elizabeth Platt, who married John Adam Aull. She remained in the area, and her family was very influential in establishing the communities of Ulm and Allendale. Then Nancy Platt married Abraham Hyers, and David Platt was married 3 times and had several children. And then the youngest daughter was Catherine or Katie Platt, and she first married Henry Brandt, and then she married Washington Weekly. And even though I'm not a direct descendant of Katie Platt's Brandt Weekly, my family home is on the land that she and her first husband Henry Brandt bought in 1870. My whole life has been spent on the land that they bought in 1870. I'm descended from 3 of these children: John Platt Jr., Miley Platt Conner, Elizabeth Platt. My brother's children, through their mother, are descended from 4 of these Platt children. Their fourth ancestor is Hannah Platt Coon. So my family tree doesn't spread very far. And so many of our families are connected, and as we talked about earlier, the allied families. Because in the early generations, there were so many daughters and so few sons in these families, they intermarried into all these other families. So many people have been surprised when this book was published that they were descendants of Jacob Platt, who came to what we call the Bethel community of Allendale County in 1752. So a lot of people are learning about a lot of other people they are related to they didn't even know. They knew, but they did not know they were related. But these are just some of the families in our book. We talk about a term that Rose Marie came up with probably 25 years ago, and I really don't know what her source is, but it's called BWORK, B-W-O-R-K. Does anybody know what that stands for? A dense web of reiterated kinship. And that's just a real fancy way of saying that everyone married their cousin. But anyway, are there any questions that I might can answer?
What's the name you got up here? What's
some of
the surnames here?
All, Bishop, Bowers, Brandt, Carter, Strong, Copeland, Draughty, Fender, Polk, Kynard, Lightsey, Livingston, Lowhope, Lyons, McMillan, Rents, Rivers, Ulmer, Varn, and Young.
Yeah, I have a flat line that married into the Berries around Branchville, and I don't see any obvious connection between the families. Have you run across any connection like that?
And does your family have an S on them or not?
It varied. One thing I learned with the Dukes family is it comes and it goes.
I think there were probably two other flat families in one of
our districts. Right, one up near St. Matthews.
Right. I have an essay in the book where I talk about the confusion of Platt, which is my last name, versus Platt with an S.
Mm-hmm.
Because for many years I was barking up the wrong ancestral tree,
mm-hmm.
trying to connect to these families that were not overtly German in origin. And then my grandmother one day reminded me, she said, you know your great-grandfather had an F on his name, which he dropped in the 1930s.
It comes and it goes.
Everybody continued to call him Mr. Platt until the day he died, even though he stopped spelling his name that way. But I do include also a chart in the book that lists not only our census records, but all of the other Platt families by census year from 1790 through 1860, and I talk about the confusion among those families.
Thank you all very much.
One other thing, one of my favorite names that you mentioned there, Mr. Weekly, he shows up on the census as Wash Weekly, and we hope he did.
Well, interesting you should say that. He and his wife, Aunt Katie, ran a boarding house at Buford Bridge, so I'm sure he watched.